my sister was a very, very loving and giving person. And she was big sister, not just to us, her siblings, but to the extended family. On both sides of the family, my dad's side and my mom's side, she was the oldest grandchild. And she took on everybody as a younger sibling, if you know what I mean. So all the cousins on both sides looked up to her as a big sister. She was there for everybody always, put people before herself.
So Kojo, I suppose it didn't come as a surprise that she became a doctor then, given that she was so loving and giving and sharing.
No, absolutely not. The medical tradition is very deep. My father was a pathologist, and Ama, who you're speaking with now, is a dentist. So I'm a scientist myself. I'm a biochemist. So science runs deep in our blood, and Ameyo dedicated her life to service. That's how I'd like to remember her, as someone who gave her life for service of her profession and also for humanity.
What did she tell you about her work?
She was passionate about her work. She worked 7 days a week. We would go visit in Nigeria, you know, and plan fun stuff with her. And at the last minute, she got a phone call from the hospital and she would ditch us and, you know, show up at work. And we would be left to just, you know, do this whatever we had planned on our own, because she just was always there. She was a very hands-on kind of doctor. At this point in her career, she was a senior doctor. And I don't know if you know this, but most senior doctors are not very hands-on because they have, you know, junior colleagues who do the hands-on work. But Ameyo was different from the average senior doctor. She was always there, and that's partly why this probably happened to her, because a lot of people who know how the hierarchy works have asked, how come she, you know, she was involved in patient care when she's a senior doctor? But it's exactly because of that. Her heart was in her job. She was passionate about what she did, very dedicated and very hardworking. And she was somebody who never turned her phone off. Her phone was on 24/7.
Could you?
Yes.
So given what we know of what happened when Patrick Sawyer came to that hospital and what your sister is about, tell us what you heard, what you were told about what happened in that ward.
My understanding of what happened was that Sawyer was attended to, right?
And can I tell this story? Because I know it a little more accurately. Do you mind if I tell the story? Because I know it better than he does. So Patrick Sawyer presented on a Sunday to the hospital after he collapsed at the airport in Lagos, Nigeria. And Ameyo was not in the hospital at the time. One of the junior doctors admitted him, and his impression was that the patient had malaria. He called Ameyo on the phone, and they discussed what needed to be done to keep him stable till the next day. The next morning, she goes to work, and she's doing her ward round. I'm telling you what she told me, because I spoke to her that same Monday. So she took a look at the patient and thought to herself, this looks like Ebola. She questioned the gentleman a little bit further and realized that indeed he did come from Liberia. And at that point, she was convinced. They started trying to do the necessary precautionary measures to protect the staff and everybody. And she alerted the Lagos State authorities, the health minister, and all the important people who needed to know what was going on. Obviously, a blood sample was taken to get tested, so it wasn't confirmed at this point. But she had a high suspicion that this is what it was. He did want to leave. And she told him, because she told me this, she said, sir, you cannot leave in this condition. Because she, at this point, she had told him that she suspected he had the Ebola virus. And she says, you know, you cannot leave because this is what we think you have and you cannot leave the hospital.
After Ameyo and the rest of the staff had informed the Minister of Health, Federal Minister of Health, technically their job was done at that point. And the challenge then became, what is Nigeria's position and what is their preparedness for a situation like this? And that's when they realized that there was nowhere for someone with this kind of ailment to go. And Ameyo realized that it made no sense for them to allow him to leave the hospital, and they ensured that they kept him there. And that's why everyone's singing her praises now, because if he had left, we wouldn't be talking the way we are today. The situation would be 10, 20 times worse than it is, right? Because Lagos State had no facilities for people with Ebola. Neither did the country as a whole. Nigeria didn't have any facility for someone with this ailment. That's why he ended up where he was.
How will you remember your sister, Kojo?
Well, growing up as kids, my father always referred to her as a tornado. And this is ringing so loud in my head. So she's someone who came to this earth. Granted, she had a very short stay here, but made a significant impact on not just me, but everyone who she touched.
Okay. What about you, Ama?
She was somebody who was not self-centered at all, putting herself last. And I would always talk to her about the fact that she needed to slow down, take a breath, look after herself. But she thrived on that.